back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, June 8th, 2017. I would be remiss if I didn't mention I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. As always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. A few things kind of in focus today. Obviously, James Comey's testimony at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearings today is the subject of much coffee pot and water cooler chatter. But also, as I've been mentioning for the past couple of days, today marks the 50th anniversary of the false flag Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. And again, as I've been pointing out over the last couple of days, today's National Intel Report will be guest hosted by Phil Turney and most of the living survivors of the USS Liberty false flag attack. And so I would once again encourage folks to tune into that, to today's National Intel Report, guest hosted by Phil Turney and most of the living survivors of the USS Liberty false flag attack, marking the 50th anniversary of that event. And, you know, again, I mean, this kind of gets to my point. That was an interesting event. We know that there is an overwhelming abundance of evidence that this government and other governments around the world, or what some call the deep state regime network, so to speak, a network of intriguers, have even discussed employing some of the most despicable acts and practices, including false flag attacks on their own people, to justify certain action, most of the time military action. Operation Gladio was never supposed to come out to the light of day. It did back in the 90s, and Operation Northwoods. Trevor Aronson's TED Talk I play on a regular basis. There's all kinds of evidence. The CIA's networks of frenemies and its covert and not-so-covert regime change actions throughout the world. It's interesting. Speaking of the false flag attack on the USS Liberty, I mean, I mention on a regular basis that it should be a provocative and astonishing irony once someone comes to full grip with the reality that just going to the United Nations Human Rights Council Wikipedia entry shows that Israel and Saudi Arabia are the worst human rights violators and abusers in the region, according to the UN, the UN Human Rights Council. And I'm not a fan of the UN or the UN Human Rights Council, but even bad guys admit that Israel and Saudi Arabia are the worst offenders. And somehow, those are our greatest allies in the region. Then you consider, along with that, Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, which basically says we're going to collide those two sides of the same coin together, political Zionism and political Islam, which those two entities represent. This modern geopolitical contrivance known as Israel, which is not synonymous with the biblical Israel, it represents political Zionism. And Saudi Arabia, which people confuse with a Muslim nation. It is not. It is Wahhabi. And that is an ideology, and it has been used for very political, very specific purposes ever since that unholy alliance back in the mid-18th century between Ibn al-Wahhab and the House of Saud. That relationship predates the breakup of the Ottoman Empire and Austrian Empire. It predates the American Revolution. It predates the Barbary Pirates. And of course, it predates the Afghan Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, etc. That relationship has been the basis of a social virus harnessed for very political reasons by the British Empire way back when and continuing to this day. It's a social virus. It was instrumental in the Balkanization of the Ottoman Empire. Just as it's doing, look at a map of the Middle East over the last 100 years, for example. We don't understand, I think, in America what has been happening. The fracturing, the Balkanization. There is a reason that term was coined. And Wahhabism was instrumental in the Balkanization of the Ottoman Empire, just like it's spreading throughout the Middle East and beyond now. So these things are not accidents. The USS Liberty incident, as you'll note out here, was not an accident. And I just don't understand, I guess, why, you know, maybe we should play that clip. I think we should, and I'll come back to Comey's testimony, because I think it's pretty much throwaway, quite frankly. But if you go to the Wikipedia entry for a list of terrorist incidents, it's interesting. There's a graphic. And there have been spikes. Before 1970, it's virtually zero. There are no incidents. The chart shows injuries, deaths, and number of incidents. From zero to 50,000, there's virtually nothing. The chart starts at 1970, ends at 2014. It's interesting. There's virtually nothing through about 1977. From 70 to 77, suddenly there's some movement. And so through the Carter, Reagan, Bush years, there's a slight increase, then a little more, then a little less through the Clinton years, and Bush too, obviously there's an increase, but there's a massive spike in the Obama era around 2011. Not that that corresponds to any of the presidents, just to kind of give a mental reference maybe, but what I think is interesting is, you know, we played a clip from Bill Moyer's documentary, The Secret Government, The Constitution in Crisis. The secret government in the Iran-Contra hearings, we heard that there were folks like Albert Hakim, a sort of George Soros figure, if you will, that were instrumental in laundering money and making money for the enterprise. What the heck is the enterprise? And that's a whole discussion in itself. Enterprise is essentially synonymous with the CIA. You listen to folks like Michael Rupert or Robert David Steele, and it's pretty simple. You understand the history of the Dulleses, and CIA was created by Wall Street for Wall Street. Essentially, it was, you know, a clandestine economic hit squad, among other things. Anyway, it has very nefarious roots. And it has very nefarious dealings today. They're experts at laundering money, and these things have not changed. It's astounding. It's out in full view now. NQTEL brags about how it was created. It's a venture capital front for the CIA and now the broader intelligence community. Not only that, but it brags about how it's a rudder for technological innovation. For every dollar the CIA and the broader intelligence community invest through NQTEL, the venture capital community invests $11 at last count. This is not okay. What has happened? You know, I talk about, you just do a search for Air America. Just do a search or go to the Google, or excuse me, the Wikipedia entry for Air America and see the first sentence. Air America was an American passenger and air and cargo airline covertly owned by the U.S. government in 1950 as a dummy corporation for the CIA. For its operations in China, it was, remember the movie? And then, and that was kind of funny, but it's not funny. And remember Gary Webb's book? Gary Webb wrote a book on it, and they killed the messenger. And then 10 years later, they made a movie about killing the messenger. Just unbelievable. And we're not learning our lesson. Again, apparently because these conversations are so far removed that we forget. I think we should be looking at anything that happens. What was the latest deal? I think the embassy at Ukraine, in Ukraine, someone hurled something over the fence or something. Wasn't that the thing that happened today, earlier? But, you know, the Iran incidents, and it was interesting, there's a rumor that Saudi Arabia is responsible for what happened in Iran. Whether it's Ukraine, Iran, Paris, London, wherever, if it's abroad, that network, I would be surprised if that network isn't involved. Again, the specifically speaking of what folks like Kofor Black and Enrique Prado represent, that network, that clandestine network of operators who cannot be traced back to any respective agency, plausible deniability. Prado bragged about that in an email, allegedly, years ago. And there's proof in our history in America that these things have happened, and that planning, I mean, Operation Northwoods is a great example of the highest levels of military brass, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, planning to blow up a mall and shoot down a passenger airliner to galvanize the American public's resolve to invade a country under specious and fallacious auspices. Some people apparently have no qualms about these things. And you and I don't think like that. We don't think like the Rahm Emanuels of the world and say, like the arsonist that Rahm Emanuel might as well be. And that may sound harsh, but any critical analysis of his soundbite, "You never want a serious crisis to go to waste." And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do the things that you thought you could not, that you think you could not do before. Who says things like that? As I've said before, no one thinks like that in their right mind. Only the arsonist or people like that think like that, say things like that. No one says, well, you know what? It's a serious crisis. Our house is on fire. Our business is on fire. It's a serious crisis. You know what? This is an opportunity to do things we thought we couldn't do before. We thought we couldn't rebuild, honey, but you know what? Now we can build a new house because we'll get the insurance money. And arsonists think like that. And don't try to tell me that that is reserved. There's some kind of firewall that reserves that kind of thinking to the moment after the crisis. No, no. These people plan. We talk about this. The dialectical process is predicated on it. It's goal setting. It's not problem, reaction, solution. It's solution, problem to foment a reaction to introduce the solution that was already pre-crafted. It's goal setting. It's planning. Which is why it's even more nefarious than the original planners, the Saint Simons of the original socialist era and architecture were admittedly authoritarian. It's more nefarious than that because it's manipulative in Bernaysian fashion, and they'll try to massage their agenda through their PR mechanisms, their Bernaysian PR mechanisms, to say, no, you want this Jedi mind trick, you want it. And it's all soft, it's soft power until you decide you don't like it, then it transitions to smart power, and then suddenly it's hard power at the point of a gun. No, you're going to do this, which is exactly what the planners admitted. Planning is authoritarian at some level, as Hayek pointed out. But again, I digress. So the terrorist attacks, wherever they happen, if they're abroad, meaning not in the United States, should be these United States, not the. But if they happen abroad, I would be astonished if we could get to the bottom of it to find that the CIA and its network, represented by the Kofor Blacks and Enrique Prados of the world, is not somehow involved. And here, Trevor Aronson said it best. The FBI, well, the title of his TED Talk is how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists, was the basis of a number of other works. He even mentions that Human Rights Watch did its own study based on his research. I've mentioned Project Salaam's study and how they proved that about 9.5 out of 10 of these incidents that we hear about in the States are manufactured by the FBI in one way or another, or actually in most ways, in most cases. Trevor Aronson leaves out incidents like the Boston bombing, but I point to Guillermo Jimenez's piece back in 2013, The Tsarnaevs and the CIA, Who Has Graham Fuller? And there are some obvious questions that should be asked that are kind of weird. Speaking of the obvious Tsarnaev connections to the CIA. But again, I digress. So back to Comey's testimony, just some brief observations about some of the opening remarks before this broadcast. Again, I think it's going to be anticlimactic. It seems to be so far. I mentioned some of the things that he said already. Going back to some of that, he was asked by Chairman Burr, as I said earlier, would you say it's normal for foreign governments to reach out to members of an incoming administration? Comey said directly, yes. Burr asked, at what point does it cross the line? And Comey said it's difficult to answer in the abstract. It's a judgment call based on a whole lot of facts, he said, and that was something that was a question and an answer that was reiterated, as I mentioned earlier. Burr asked, what was your reaction when you read the dossier? Comey's answer, not a question I can answer in an open session. That's interesting. And, well, there's more. I'll mention the rest on the other side of this break.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number number 2, keep it today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Segment is I'll give you my synopsis of some of the talking points from Comey's testimony and then a clip, Reuters coverage. I think it's, you know, it's just astonishing. Comey is so slick. The title of the Reuters video, Comey opens up, those were lies, plain and simple. That's the Reuters clip. Unbelievable. I don't, like Orwell said, the great enemy... insincerity is the great enemy of plain language, and Comey is the most insincere person I think I remember hearing in a long time. He's so slick and subtle and nuanced and polished, an Obama clone in that sense. You listen to the things he says, and in a very subtle and nuanced way, he has an impeccable, uncanny ability to slight the person he's talking about while acting like the Teflon Don. Nothing sticks to him, but you know, he besmirches others continually, but it's slick and subtle and polished, so it doesn't sound like besmirching. I'll touch on that, and we'll hear some of that in the video clip. But so Comey, Burr asked Comey, what was your reaction when you read the dossier? He said, not a question I can answer in an open setting. Burr asked, when did you become aware of the cyber intrusion? Comey said, there are all kinds going on all the time. The first Russian-connected cyber intrusion I became aware of in the late summer of 2015. That's interesting. What else was going on in the late summer of 2015, the Hillary Clinton email scandal and subsequent investigation? So that kind of corroborates the reporting of folks like Lee Stranahan over at Breitbart, and my conjecture that much of the Russia collusion nonsense is a smokescreen, not just for the email nonsense. And that's just, I mean, it's just astonishing what has happened in the email stuff. We keep focusing on the wrong things. Not only was there evidence of what most would consider criminal wrongdoing, and you know, James Comey says, I don't want to politicize the FBI or get into politics, we want to remain apolitical, except you know that he keeps politicizing everything. Everything about him is political. He politicizes everything, including making the statement that Hillary Clinton charges shouldn't be brought against her, criminal charges. It's absurd. Where is the line? If Brennan says we do intelligence, if Comey says we do intelligence, we're not the Department of Justice, we don't prosecute, we investigate, then why are you speaking to the issue of whether or not to prosecute? If that's not your job. If you are the Federal Bureau of Investigation, then why are you conjecturing on the matter of prosecution? But again, I digress. So, Burr asked, was your decision, speaking of that politicizing of events, Burr asked, was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former president, Bill Clinton? Comey said yes directly in an ultimately connected roundabout sort of way, I think, something like that. It was interesting, but he said yes, that influenced his decision to make the statement he made. Again, politicizing events, including his own actions, is just astonishing. So I'll conclude that and we'll move on right after this break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer.
Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
This Comey nonsense to a conclusion, shall we? Got a couple of things. First, I will finish my observations. And then we'll listen to a couple of clips and move on. So Comey mentioned the decision to make his statement was influenced by the impromptu tarmac meeting between Attorney General Lynch. When Bill Clinton intercepted Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, and you know, they spent 45 minutes talking about grandchildren, according to Bill Clinton. Again, absurd. And Comey deposed. He was part of the deposition team that deposed Hillary Clinton, but didn't discuss that. Was she under oath? No one knows. Did she lie? Yes, she lied to Congress. She lied to the American people several times. Even Comey admitted that directly when asked about remarks that she had made. For example, that she, when she said repeatedly she had not shared classified information, Comey was among the voices. You know, Comey said specifically that she had shared information that was, or that she had emailed, transmitted information that was classified at the time. She said it wasn't classified at the time, but he rebutted that. So, you know, there was evidence of criminal wrongdoing. Yeah, but, you know, and the tarmac meeting did influence his decision. Then he kind of downplayed that subsequently. Asked about whether or not anyone... and then he mentioned that he thought it was odd that the Attorney General had directed him to not to call it an investigation. I mentioned that because that was in that piece, New York Times article that I mentioned today, actually. Comey tried to shield the FBI from politics. Then he shaped an election. It's in that New York Times article. Section titled Federal Bureau of Matters that describes that incident. I like the way that it describes that incident. The Attorney General the way the New York Times article describes it, on July 10, 2015, again, late summer 2015. What else happened? Comey says, I became aware of the Russian influence interference campaign in late summer of 2015. Well, what else happened? New York Times article. On July 10, 2015, the FBI opened a criminal investigation. A criminal investigation. Codenamed Mid-Year. Into Mrs. Clinton's handling of classified information. Uh-oh. And the mid-year team included 24 investigators led by a senior analyst and by an experienced FBI supervisor, Peter Sturzok, a former Army officer who had worked on some of the most secretive investigations in recent years involving Russian and Chinese espionage. There was controversy almost immediately. Responding to questions from the Times, the Justice Department confirmed that it had received a criminal referral. It had received a criminal referral. The first step toward a criminal investigation over Mrs. Clinton's handling of classified information. But the next morning, the department revised its statement. The department has received a referral related to the potential compromise of classified information, the new statement read. It is not a criminal referral. At the FBI, this was a distinction without a difference. Despite what officials said in public, agents had been alerted to mishandled classified information, and in response, records show, had opened a full criminal investigation. The Justice Department knew a criminal investigation was underway, but officials said they were being technically accurate about the nature of the referral. Some of the FBI suspected that Democratic appointees were playing semantic games to help Mrs. Clinton, do you think? Who immediately seized on the statement to play down the issue? Quote, it is not a criminal investigation, she said, Clinton, incorrectly. The New York Times notes, it is a security review, Hillary Clinton said. And who believes anything she says? Caught lying over and over and over. It's documented all over the place. You can find several YouTube videos of her lying for decades. And then the hubris to pretend she's not lying, gaslighting the American public to death. In September of that year, as Mr. Comey prepared for his first public questions about the case at congressional hearings and press briefings, he went across the street to the Justice Department to meet with Ms. Lynch and her staff. Both had been federal prosecutors in New York, Mr. Comey in the Manhattan limelight, Miss Lynch in the lower Wattage Brooklyn office. The 6'8" Mr. Comey commanded a room and the spotlight. Miss Lynch, 5 feet tall, was known for being cautious and relentlessly on message. In her 5 months as Attorney General, she had shown no sign of changing her style. At the meeting, everyone agreed that Mr. Comey should not reveal details about the Clinton investigation, but Miss Lynch told him to be even more circumspect. Do not even call it an investigation, she said, according to three people who attended the meeting. Call it a matter. Miss Lynch reasoned that the word investigation would raise other questions. What charges were being investigated? Who was the target? But most important, she believed that the department should stick by its policy of not confirming investigations. It was a by-the-book decision, but Mr. Comey and other FBI officials regarded it as disingenuous in an investigation that was so widely known. And Mr. Comey was concerned that a Democratic attorney general was asking him to be misleading and line up his talking points with Mrs. Clinton's campaign, according to people who spoke with him afterward. As the meeting broke up, George Toscas, a national security prosecutor, ribbed Mr. Comey. I guess you're the Federal Bureau of Matters now, Mr. Toscas said, according to two people who were there. Despite his concerns, Mr. Comey avoided calling it an investigation. I am confident we have the resources and the personnel assigned to the matter, Mr. Comey told reporters days after the meeting. So that's a little background on that soundbite. But so Comey said that was weird. He said he thought it was odd that the attorney general directed him not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused and concerned him, he said. One last point. Vice Chair Warner asked, what led you to believe you needed to make a record of the January 6th et al. Meetings with the president? And Comey's remarks were astonishing, again, besmirching others. And what was particularly astonishing and remarkable to me was that this was right after Warner, when Warner asked the question and Comey remarks and besmirches the president. This was right after Warner says, some have publicly tried to smear you. It's just, it's the all kinds of psychological, basically it's a psyop, it's psy warfare, it's psy war, psyops. So we're going to gaslight the American people, and it's psychological projection and all kinds of other things where we take off the table that Comey is a someone that might be alleged the allegation of impropriety might be leveled at him. We take that off the table. But then, in turn, once we have exonerated him from those allegations in a very subtle, almost imperceptible, certainly to most, sort of way, then he turns around and besmirches the president. And that's okay? But then he calls him sir as he's besmirching. It's just, it's astonishing. So the first clip I want you to hear is the Reuters clip. And like I said, the title of the clip is, I mean, it kind of says it all. Comey opens up. Those were lies, plain and simple. So here's the Reuters clip. Go ahead, please.
Stunning testimony from James Comey Thursday, the fired FBI director revealing his personal interactions with and impressions of President Donald Trump. Characterizing as false the spin surrounding his firing last month when the president said that Comey had lost the trust of his colleagues and that
he was not doing a good job.
The administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI. Those were lies, plain and simple.
In his written remarks submitted to the Senate Intelligence Committee, Comey confirmed reports Trump asked him for his loyalty at a private dinner in January, and then asked him to ease off investigating his former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, who was fired for misleading the administration about his contacts with Russia's ambassador. But Comey Thursday wouldn't assess the legal impact of Trump asking him to, quote, let go of the Flynn probe.
I don't think it's for me to say whether the conversation I had with the president was an effort to obstruct. I took it as a very disturbing thing, very concerning, But that's a conclusion I'm sure the special counsel will work towards to try and understand what the intention was there and whether that's an offense.
The former FBI director explained why he kept detailed notes of his interactions with Trump, but not his predecessors.
And then the nature of the person. I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document. That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
The issues of Thursday's hearing all hinge on truthfulness. Namely, it's Comey's word against the president's, who was denied trying to interfere in the Flynn investigation.
Did you at any time urge former FBI Director James Comey in any way, shape, or form to close or to back down the investigation into Michael Flynn? And also, as you look back...
No. Next question.
The president's lawyer on Wednesday issued a statement saying Trump felt vindicated by Comey's written statement, but after today's hearing, it's unlikely that's still the case.
Brenda, stop! No one wants to get in prank war with Brenda.
So there you go. That's the Reuters clip. It's interesting. Again, James Comey is slick, but I got nothing good to say. It's interesting. You heard in that segment he says I can't comment on the intent of paraphrasing his remarks. He can't comment on the intent of President Trump's Flynn remarks, which clearly leaves open the possibility. Or the implication of wrongdoing, right? The implication of the possibility of wrongdoing. But he can't comment on Hillary Clinton's intent with regard to sharing classified emails. He basically says she's inept. It was extremely careless. She's inept. If she's that inept, she's too inept to be president, by the way, as I've said in the past. So he can't comment on the intent of the president's Flynn remarks, leaving open the possibility or the implication of wrongdoing. It's kind of like saying, hey, you know what? The pastor didn't show up to church drunk this week. People go, what? Does he usually show up drunk? Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, he didn't show up drunk this week. That's an indirect besmirching. I can't comment as to the intent, but he can comment as to the intent. I don't think she intended to do anything wrong. So what he said about Hillary's sharing of classified emails. And as I read from the New York Times article, there was clearly a criminal investigation opened at the same time that the political opposition research campaign kicked into gear. And the Russian interference or influence campaign was brought to the FBI's attention, according to Comey's remarks. So it all kind of stinks to high heaven. But the last thing I'll leave you with as far as Comey's testimony is concerned is what I would consider the most valuable 30 seconds of his testimony. I think we could just bag all of his testimony for the 30 seconds of exchange between Comey and Chairman Burr. This says it all. I'm sure Fox News will be playing this a lot and other outlets. I'm sure we won't ever hear this on CNN or some of the other outlets. This is a user-created clip, C-SPAN clip, from today's hearings. Go ahead, please.
Are you confident that no votes cast in the 2016 presidential election were altered?
I'm confident. By the time when I left as director, I had seen no indication of that whatsoever.
Director Comey, did the president at any time ask you to stop the FBI investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 U.S. elections?
Not to my understanding, no.
Did any individual working for this administration, including the Justice Department, ask you to stop the Russian investigation?
No.
Director, when the president...
There you go. What more is there to say as far as all of that nonsense is concerned? And, people, the logical fallacies are important. Cognitive bias, in whatever form, will prevent us from critical thought and critical examination of the facts. And that leads to us being vulnerable to and susceptible to these logical fallacies. One of the biggest is this obstruction of justice nonsense. We've taken the leap from, and it's a logical fallacy to assume something you can't assume. No votes were changed. There's no evidence of collusion. So we can't presume that. We'll be right back.
Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate?
A faintly glimmering radio station.
Welcome back. That's when you unmute your microphone, doesn't it? Final segment of today's broadcast. You know, we might have time for one remaining small snippet from Comey's testimony. Maybe, maybe not. But Senator Susan Collins sort of going over some of the same questions Burr and others asked, but the Comey's purpose in sharing the memo. Listen to this. Hate when that happens. So Senator Collins asking about the memo, why he thought it was important to document when he hadn't documented in the past, and if he shared the memo, the infamous Comey memo, with anyone else. What would be the purpose of that? And again, tell me if this doesn't sound political. Well, maybe we'll have to come back to that. You can find that. Again, I always like to point folks to the source information. If you go to C-SPAN right now, you can still find the video, I think, on the homepage of c-span.org, but it's titled Russian Interference in 2016 Election. That's the title of the video on the page. Former FBI Director James Comey testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Russian efforts to interfere in 2016 U.S. elections. And this is all hogwash anyway, because as has been pointed out, remember the L.A. Times article that I mentioned? L.A. Times, U.S. is no stranger to interfering in the elections of other countries. Remember that article? Based on the... that was the... December 21st, 2016 article, LA Times article, based on Dov Levin's research over at Carnegie Mellon University, where he proved that the U.S. has a long history of attempting to influence presidential elections in other countries. It's done so at least 81 times since 1946, and that doesn't include the covert actions. So, not to engage in whataboutism per se, the ostensibly Soviet practice of whataboutism. But are we saying that it's okay for the Western security agencies, as they're known? Or, I mean, is there a double standard, or is it not okay? If it's not okay, then don't we need to be deeply introspective at the same time? Comey said that it's a practice that'll continue. Anyway, if you go to that video that I mentioned, you can see the other clips, the featured clips from that video. The one that we were going to play was James Comey shared memo with aim of prompting special prosecutor appointment. Again, politicizing the apolitical, apparently. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Again, tune in to the National Intel Report later today, guest hosted by Phil Tierney and other USS Liberty false flag attack survivors, the 50th anniversary of that event, that infamous day 50 years ago. And that'll do it for today's broadcast. As always, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.